Let's get to a potpourri of political activities happening around our world, and we do that with Ken Timmerman out of the Washington, D.C. area. Ken, let me talk to you about Saudi Arabia. There's a big headline that's come out. They may go nuclear because of President Obama's Iranian deal. Now, the president, I'm not sure, wanted that to happen, but it looks like a proliferation of nuclear states in the Middle East is going to come about.
That's something that's been in the works for some time. The Saudis have been warning about this. They have been trying to put pressure on the Obama administration to ensure that the Iranian regime does not acquire nuclear weapons capability. And they've said, look, if that does happen, we have no choice. We must have the same capabilities that they do. President Obama seems to be somewhat indifferent to this. And in this, he will be the first U.S. president not to be concerned about the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, specifically nuclear weapons capabilities. You remember, in Cairo, in the early part of his administration, in June of 2009, and I'm going to be talking about that in my new book, Dark Forces, about the true story of what happened in Benghazi, President Obama said then he wanted to see a new order in the Middle East, and he was willing to see the diminishment of traditional U.S. allies, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the Sunni countries in the Middle East, and Israel, and the gradual empowerment of the Shiite nation of the Islamic Republic of Iran. That's what's happening today. The Saudis have said, we're not going to put up with this, and they and their Sunni partners are going to be looking for nuclear weapons capability.
By the way, before we continue on, let me congratulate you on getting that book finished. Now, it is available on Amazon.com even now, correct?
Yes, you can pre-order Dark Forces by Kenneth R. Timmerman. I use my full name when I write my books. And it's going to be on sale probably towards mid to late June, but you can pre-order it now.
Let me go to Iran. We're talking about Iran. And do you have any reason? Can you figure out anything that's going on in the mind of President Obama, why he's not concerned about it? That's what you said.
Again, I think he wants to see a reordering of the alliances in the Middle East. He's made this clear that this is one of the goals of his presidency. Early on, he had an opportunity in June of 2009 to help the people of Iran who were rising up against the regime. Instead of doing that, he helped the regime put down the people when there were 3 million Iranian citizens on the streets of Tehran and other cities crying foul over the latest Iranian election in 2009. So Obama has shown from the get-go that he wants to be friends with the Iranian regime, with Ayatollah Khamenei, with a Shiite regime that is expanding throughout the Middle East. And to do so, he's willing to put in jeopardy, to a certain extent, America's traditional alliances with the Sunni powers, whether it be Saudi Arabia, Jordan, or Egypt, then under Hosni Mubarak, today under General al-Sisi, who Obama has not been very friendly towards.
Yeah, that is correct. By the way, it's ironic that Iran now is saying they're ready for a decisive battle with Israel and the United States, and they even referred to the United States as the Great Satan.
Well, it is ironic, and I think this shows the incomprehension of President Obama for what's really going on. The Iranian regime has no desire to be friends with the United States. They merely sense an opportunity in the president's misperception of what's really going on. You had their military leaders over the past week saying that they're going to send warships, Iranian warships, off the coast of North America. Well, realistically, that's pathetic bluster. They're not going to be able to send warships that could do any damage to us off of our coasts. However, what they are trying to signal us is that they are an expanding power. They are monitoring the United States around the world, our military activities around the world. They know where American soldiers are based, where we have bases, and where we have allies. And they've threatened to attack us in those soft spots repeatedly. And this latest warning of sending warships to the northeastern coast, I think, is similar to that. My biggest worry, Jimmy, is that they send not a warship, but a civilian cargo ship with a nuclear missile in the hold. We would not be able to detect it before launch, and we would only be lucky if we had the resources in place, Aegis missile cruisers or destroyers, to actually shoot it down.
And that, indeed, is not far beyond imagination. It could well happen. In Tehran this week, hundreds and thousands of Iranians going to the streets to celebrate the 35th anniversary of the 1979 revolution. This is where all this began, and you covered that story.
Actually, the revolution began in 78 and then went on through 79. The February 12th date is in 1979 when they, through a coup, essentially the revolutionaries led by Ayatollah Khomeini and his proteges, they seized control of Air Force barracks in Tehran and toppled the regime of the Shah. Jimmy, every year they have these so-called celebrations, and every year they say how many people we brought to the streets of Tehran and other cities. And what you learn, what I learned from my sources in Iran, is that essentially they're giving days off, schools are on holiday, teachers are busing their students to Tehran. They're all being paid a special stipend to come for this so-called celebration. So, you know, when you're paying hundreds of thousands of people to come for a paid holiday in Tehran, it's not quite so difficult to get big numbers on the streets. But they aren't necessarily true believers of the regime.
Let's focus on Iraq just for a moment. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the fact that indeed that insurgency going on is ratcheted up in the last couple of weeks. And now there are a number in Anbar province that have actually been displaced, over 300,000 of them. It doesn't look like Maliki is going to be able to get control of what's happening there in Iraq.
No, and it's a sad reminder of what happened in 2004, 2005, during the uprising against the United States, all the way through the surge in 2007. You had, you know, massive displacements. The displacement of Christian Iraqis continues to this day, by the way, but what we're seeing in Anbar province is obviously a displacement of Sunnis and others who are forced to leave their homes because of the fighting with the government.
Ken, looks like to me we're going to have to keep a focus on Iraq because that situation doesn't seem to be coming together, does it?
No, it doesn't. And as I mentioned, there are still all of the Christians who have left Iraq, fled because of religious persecution. There is one bright note here, Jimmy, and we haven't talked about this yet. Just last month, the Iraqi central government under al-Maliki did agree to create a new province in northern Iraq in the Nineveh Plain, which is dominated by the Assyrian, Syriac, and Chaldean Christians. It hasn't yet been done, but this is something that Christian organizations have been demanding of the government for the past 3 years, and it's a tremendous step forward should it actually take place. It will allow the Christians to have their own police force, to be able to have a portion of federal government revenues to invest in infrastructure and repairs. The whole area of the Nineveh Plain, which is the historic homeland of the Iraqi Christians, is a disaster zone. I mean, it's dilapidated beyond belief. What should be paved roads are dirt roads with potholes 6 feet deep. The sewers run into the streets. I mean, it's really awful. I've been there many, many times, as we've discussed in previous broadcasts. And if they're able to have this new province in the Nineveh Plain and with their own police force and some of the federal tax revenues, it could finally turn things around, anchor the Christians in Iraq, and potentially, if they get a handle on security, encourage Christians to return to their homeland.
That is a great report. And by the way, I love the phrase you're using, in the Nineveh Plain. That has a biblical sound to it. Let me get you to quickly respond to just one more item, if you will, maybe about 20 seconds. It looks like Vladimir Putin is going to back the army general Assisi there in Egypt to be president, and they've also made a pretty big arms deal, $2 billion worth.
Well, that's right, and Putin is never one to let a good opportunity go to waste, and especially if he can tweak the nose of his American colleague Barack Obama. So that's what he's doing here. He's just welcomed General al-Sisi to Moscow. They've inked this $2 billion arms deal. Egypt, which has been a traditional U.S. ally, now is looking for other people to support it.
You think that'll be a good move for the Egyptians to have al-Sisi, a military leader, take charge of the presidency?
I do. I think al-Sisi has shown himself to be a moderate. He understands that Islam has a role to play in Egypt, but not one to oppress the people. And he's been, by the way, very, very supportive of the Christian Coptic community and has made clear that he will not put up with religious persecution.
Well, we're going to stay on top of that story, but all the stories we have in discussion with Ken Timmerman, we have to stay on top of because they are evolving types of situations that we want to make sure we know the details behind the headlines. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week, and we are going to be looking forward to getting that book of yours.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. God bless.